Jabihari Jaya. Jaya Ratta Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Ratta Madhava Kunja Vihari Jam Vishnu Padapana Mahamsa Prera Chakcharya Ashtada Satta Shri Shrima His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Shira Prabhupada Ki Jaya ISKCON Foundacharya, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Shira Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnu Padapanam Hamsa Parira Chakcharya, Ashtadur Satta Shri Shrima. His Divine Grace Shira Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananda Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Shri Harirastaku Ki Jai. Prem Sakaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhatra Sri Vasade Gaura Bhaktavinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gaur Gopinang Shyamakun Radhakun Giri Govadan Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Shri Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Shri Jagannapuri Dham Ki Jai Ganga Mai Chamuna Mai Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Trusi Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhaktavinda Ki Jai Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Jai Transcendental Prasadana Distribution Ki Jai Hare Rama Sankirtan Ki Jai ISKCON Yutva Gadam Ki Jai Nithai Gaura Pramanandi Hari Hari Haribo O Krori Sri Sambhori Voris Hare Krishna O Krori Sri Sambhori Voris O Krori Sri Sambhori Voris Hare Krishna O Krori Sri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayana Namaskritya Naranchaiva Narottamam Devin Sarasvatin Vyasam Tato Jayam Udidayet Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamashtoke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 1, Text Number 13. Right. Sa Esha Doshaha Purusha Dvid Aste Griham Pravishto Yam Apatya Matya Pushnasi Krishnat Vimukho Gatha Shris Tyachashu Asaivam Kura Koshalaya Sa esha tosha purusha dvitaste Kriham pravishto yamapatya matya Pushnasi krishna vimukho gata shis Tyajasvasaivam kurakoshalaya Sa esha dosha purusha dvitaste Griham pravishto yamapatya matya Pushnasi Krishna Vimukho Katashis. Tyaja Svasaivam Kulakoshalaya. Sa Esha Tosha Purushatitaste. Kriham Pravishto Yamapatya Matya. Pushnasi Krishna Vimukho Katashris. Tyaja Svasaivam Kunakoshalaya. Marajis.
Krishna Vimukho Katashvis Raja Svasaivam Kulakoshalaya
Saha He Eshaha This Doshaha Offense personified Purusha Dvit Envious of Lord Krishna Aste exists Griham household Pravishta entered Yam whom Apatyamatya thinking to be your son Pushnasi maintaining Krishnat from Krishna Vimukaha in opposition, Gata Shrihi, devoid of everything auspicious, Tyaja, give up, Asu, as soon as possible, Ashaivam inauspicious. Kula family. Koshalaya for the sake of. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. You are maintaining offense personified Duryodhana as your infallible son, but he is envious of Lord Krishna, and because you are thus maintaining a non-devotee of Krishna, you are devoid of all auspicious qualities. Relieve yourself of this ill fortune as soon as possible, and do good to the whole family. Purport. A good son is called apatya, one who does not allow his father to fall down. The son can protect the father's soul when the father is dead by offering sacrifices to please the Supreme Lord Vishnu. This system is still prevalent in India. After the death of his father, a son goes to offer sacrifices at the lotus feet of Vishnu at Gaya and thus delivers the father's soul if the father is fallen. But if the son is already an enemy of Vishnu, how in such an inimical mood can he offer sacrifice to Lord Vishnu's lotus feet? Lord Krishna is directly the personality of Godhead Vishnu, and Duryodhana was inimical to him. He would therefore be unable to protect his father, Dhritarashtra, after his death. He himself was to fall down because of his faithlessness towards Vishnu. How then could he protect his father? Vidura advised Dhritarashtra to get rid of such an unworthy son as Duryodhana as soon as possible, if he was at all anxious to see the good of his family. According to the moral instructions of Chanakya Pandit, what is the use of a son who is neither a learned man or a devotee of the Lord? If a son is not a devotee of the Supreme Lord, he is just like blind eyes, a source of trouble. A physician may sometimes advise to extrication of such useless eyes from their sockets so that one can be relieved of the constant trouble. Duryodhana was exactly like blind. Troubling eyes. He would be a source of great trouble to the family of Dhritarashtra, as foreseen by Vidura. Vidura therefore rightly advised his oldest brother to get rid of this source of trouble. Dhritarashtra was wrongly maintaining such personified offense under the mistaken impression that Duryodhana was a good son able to liberate his father. Omagyana Timinandasya Gyananjana Sarakaya Chakshu Uminitan Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtan Stapidan Yena Buddhare Svayan Rupakata Mahyan Tadati Svam Padandikam Vandehan Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamanam Shri Gurum Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupan Sagra Chatam Sahagana Rakunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sattvaitam Savatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Dalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastude Tapta Kamchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindava Nishwari Vishabhanu Sude Devi Pramami Hari Priye Vanchakau Patarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishvanebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadra Shri Vasade Gola Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Sa esha dosha purusha dvit aste griham pravishtoyam apyata matya. Pushnasi Krishna vimuko gata shris tyajasva saivam kula koshalaya. Translation again. You are maintaining offense personified Duryodhan as your infallible son, but he is envious of Lord Krishna. And because you are thus maintaining a non-devotee of Krishna, you are devoid of all auspicious qualities. Relieve yourself of this ill fortune as soon as possible and do good to the whole family. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada said that a good son is able to liberate his father. A good son is called apatya, one who does not allow his father to fall down. So it reminds me of the story of Dhruva Maharaj in the fourth skanda of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because at the end of his life, you know, they say, air plane from Vaikuntha Loka coming down to take Dhruva Maharaj back to Godhead. And Dhruva Maharaj, he boarded to that plane. It is said here that Dhruva was seated in a transcendental airplane which was just about to start when he remembered his poor mother, Suniti. He thought to himself, how shall I go alone to Vaikuntha planet and leave behind my poor mother? But interesting is, you know, as soon as Dhruva Maharaj, he was thinking like that, immediately the two Vishnu Dutas, Nanda Sunanda, they could understand what's in the mind of Dhruva Maharaj. And then the great associates of Vaikuntha Loka, Nanda and Sunanda, could understand the mind of Dhruva Maharaj. And as they showed him that his mother, Suniti, was going forward in another plane, Srila Prabhupada wrote a very beautiful purport to these words. Yeah, Prabhupada, he said, this incident proves that the Shiksha or Diksha Guru, who is a disciple who strongly executes devotional service like Dhruva Maharaj, can be carried by the disciple even though the instructor is not as advanced. Let me read this sentence again. This incident proves that the Shiksha or Diksha Guru, who has a disciple who strongly executes devotional service like Dhruva Maharaj, can be carried by the disciple even though the instructor is not as advanced. Prabhupada is talking about Dhruva Maharaj's mother, because obviously Dhruva Maharaj's mother is not advanced as Dhruva Maharaj himself. And actually, Prabhupada explained further, although Suniti was an instructor to Dhruva Maharaj, she could not go to the forest because she was a woman, nor could she execute austerity and penances as Dhruva Maharaj did. Still, Dhruva Maharaj was able to take his mother with him. So similarly, Prahlad Maharaj also delivered his atheistic father, Hiranyakasipu. The conclusion is that a disciple or an offspring who is very strong devotee can carry with him to Vaikuntha Loka, either his father, mother, or Shiksha or Diksha Guru. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, if I could perfectly deliver even one soul back home, back to Godhead, I would think my mission, propagating Krishna consciousness, to be successful. So the Krishna consciousness movement is spreading now all over the world. And sometimes I think that even though I'm crippled in many ways, if one of my disciples becomes as strong as Dhruva Maharaj, then he will be able to carry me with him to Vaikuntha Loka. See, Prabhupada is so humble. Actually, Srila Prabhupada came to this material world to deliver the foreign souls like us. But Prabhupada, he was so humble. He was saying that if one of his disciples becomes as strong as Dhruva Maharaj, then he will be able to carry me with him to Vaikuntha Loka. Yeah, Prabhupada is very, very humble. And then it reminds me the stories of Prahlad Maharaj. Actually, Prabhupada, he was mentioning in Dhruva Maharaj pastime also. After the killing of the demon Hiranyakasipu, everyone at present was very much afraid of Nrisimhadev, because Nrisimhadev was really in a very angry mood, ferocious, right? There's a word, ferocious, right? Very angry. Nobody can approach him to pacify him. Even, Lakshmi Devi was very much afraid to go ahead to pacify Lord Nrisimhadev. So finally, Lord Brahma, along with Lord Shiva, all the other great personality present, advised Dhruva Maharaj to go and approach Lord Nrisimhadev. Advised Prahlad Maharaj to go and pacify Lord Nrisimhadev. So Prahlad Maharaj, went there and tried to pacify Lord Nrisimhadev. And Prahlad Maharaj offered many beautiful prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev too. And then Lord Nrisimhadev is so pleased with Prahlad Maharaj. So he asked Prahlad Maharaj, please ask me a benediction from me. Whatever your desire within your heart, I will fulfill it. Please ask any desire. You know what Prahlad Maharaj was asking Lord Nrisimhadev? Prahlad Maharaj said, O Supreme Lord, because you are so merciful to the fallen souls, I ask you for only one benediction. I know that my father, at the time of his death, has already been purified by your grants upon him. But because of his ignorance of your beautiful power and supremacy, he was unnecessarily angry at you, falsely thinking that you were the curer of his brother. Thus, he directly blasphemed your lordship, the spiritual master of all living beings, and committed heavily sinful activities directed against me, your devotee. I wish that he be excused for these sinful activities. And then Lord Nrisimhadev answered, saying, the Supreme Personality of God has said, my dear Prahlad, O most pure, O great sentient person, your father has been purified. along with 21 forefathers in your family. Because you were born in this family, the entire dynasty has been purified. That's the power of a pure devotee of the Lord. Prabhupada actually wrote very nice purport to those two verses. I want to read to everyone. Although Hiranyakasipu was purified as soon as he came in contact with Lord's lap, and the Lord saw him, Prahlad Maharaj still wanted to hear from the Lord's own mouth that his father had been purified by the Lord's causeless mercy. Prahlad Maharaj offered this prayer to the Lord for the sake of his father. As a Vaishnava son, despite all the inconveniences imposed upon him by his father, he could not forget his father's affection. So usually in this material world, if we are offended by someone, we want to take revenge, right? We want to fight back. But a great devotee of Prahlad Maharaj, he was not like that. Actually, he prays to the Lord to free his father from that miserable condition of life. And then Prabhupada said, the word tri saptavi means seven multiplied by three. In one's family, one can count back four or five generations to one's great-grandfather or even one's great-grandfather's father. But since the Lord mentions 21 forefathers, this indicates that the benediction expands to other families also. Before the present family in which one has taken birth, one must have been born in other families. Thus, when a Vaishnava takes birth in a family, by the grace of the Lord, he purifies not only that family, but also the family of his previous birth. 21 generation. So that's the power of a pure devotee of the Lord. Just like in a forest, even if there's only one fragrant tree, so the whole forest will become fragrant. So similarly, in a family, in a dynasty, even if there's only one pure devotee of the Lord, then the whole dynasty will become purified. So that is the power of pure devotee of Lord Krishna. And that's why Srila Prabhupada, he was saying in today's verse, that a good son is able to liberate his father. Yeah. So I stop here. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Sri Madam Mohat Prabhu. Microphone, please.
Thank you, Prabhu. Just a comment. The Sanskrit word putra means like one who delivers, like put is like a kind of a hellish existence that the father may be put into. And triate, or to deliver, to save one from a hellish life. So just on that note, I wanted to ask, you even have like incarnations of the Supreme Lord, like Advaita Acharya. Mahavishnu himself and a couple of his sons didn't turn out so well. So what's the practical approach to that? I mean, it says that in the verse that Dhritarashtra should have gotten rid of Duryodhana, right? So what is the practical approach? Does one simply just they get their rent and, the room and board, but just kind of leave them alone and continue one's process in devotional service? Or does one just kick out, you know, a relative who's not interested in Krishna consciousness? Or what should be the approach to that?
I'm so sorry. Actually, I'm not very clear about your question. Can anyone answer his question? I'm not so clear because my hearing is a little bit problem.
If I'm correct, you're asking, you know, what's the position of a person that wants to come to Krishna consciousness and how they should be maintained or managed? Or
that were not turned out not to be devotees, oh. You know, and he's the incarnation of Mahavishnu. So what practically, what is one's stance? Does one just minimize their dealings with such a relative, or, you know, maybe, you know, give him prasadam, room and board, or should one just like say, okay, sorry, you have to leave?
Yes.
The way I understand this is that the level of realization that a devotee is pursuing will manifest, you know, like sometimes these examples of great acharyas are not, you know, we cannot play that role sometimes. We're in a different level, and sometimes you just have to be also practical. You have family. Many devotees, sometimes Prabhupada even mentions that, for example, I don't know if his sister or somebody had, you know, the husband was not really like a devotee, but he didn't give him up. Or there are so many instances in which I've seen devotees who they're totally surrender, and the children here, Gurukulis, I've seen some of them, they're totally off, you know, temporarily maybe. We don't know what's the karma. So this situation is not very, you cannot, you know, like made an absolute statement in that, and each individual case has to be dealt properly, and otherwise it can create some disturbance too. But in the other sense, for example, if you analyze the a very elevated Paramahansa devotee, is Mamataji, Kunti Devi, she makes a prayer in which, my dear Lord, he says, let not be any obstructions. She wants to, like, no, cut my affections for the Brijnis and the Pandavas. And you're thinking, what? What's that? They're devotees. But the example right in that particular instance is that devotees don't want any obstacles. If you're at that level in which you're totally 100%, like in the case of Kunti Devi, some other ones there, then maybe you can approach that, say, okay, my son is nonsense and forget it, let him go. You can, but there will be some reaction.
Yes, Prabhupada. Yeah.
Well, we have Prabhupada's example. Prabhupada got initiated in the early 20s, 1920s, and then his Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj departed early 30s, right? And Prabhupada didn't leave home until at least the mid-50s or something like that. I think he was 57, so that was about 1950. So Prabhupada stayed at home for like about 20 years, kind of trying to... He was serious about devotional service, obviously, definitely from the time his spiritual master passed away. And his family was not into it, but he didn't just leave at that point. I think I got the impression from the Lilamrita that he tried for about 20 years to involve his family in devotional service. And then at some point it just became apparent that, you know, the cooperation wasn't going to be there and he left. Mm. But he was there for at least 20 years. Mm. I mean, unless I misunderstood something.
Thank you for sharing. It reminds me of the story of Srila Bhakti Notaku. Actually, there was one time Srila Prabhupada, he was talking to his disciples about Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Prabhupada, he was praising Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. He was such a pure devotee. If he want, then he can deliver the whole world. And then one of Prabhupada's disciples, he was asking him, then why didn't he do it? Asking Prabhupada a question like that. And Prabhupada said, because he wants us to get the credit. He left some work for us to do so that we will get the credit to deliver the foreign souls of this material world. It reminds me of stories like that, you know.
What's the connection? I didn't get it.
Oh, what's that?
What was the connection between... I like that story you just told me.
Regarding Srimad Mahatma Prabhu's question, you know. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yes, Ramjuna Prabhu.
Yeah, so you mentioned about Dhruva Maharaj that I think he quoted Bhakti Siddhanta saying if one has a strong disciple, then he can deliver his spiritual master. But then also we have the instruction in the Nectar of Instruction that one should accept a spiritual master who is an Uttam Adhikari. So how do you understand both statements?
From the purport, I can understand probably he was talking about Dhruva Maharaj's mother, Suniti, because obviously, you know, Dhruva Maharaj's mother, Suniti, spiritually speaking, is not that advanced like Dhruva Maharaj. But because Suniti instructed him to go to the forest and look for the Supreme Lord, because only the Supreme Lord can fulfill your desire. And Dhruva Maharaj, you know, took it as his heart and soul.
Yeah, I understand that, but in the purport it says, mentions a point about if one's strong oneself, that one could deliver one's spiritual master. But I, you know, but then there's a statement saying the spiritual master should be an Uttam Adhikari. So I,
yes, Bhikkhu Prabhu, yes.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that purport that you're referring to in the Nectar of Instruction, but it does say that, but it also says that if one accepts a spiritual master that is less than an Uttam Adhikari, you know, a Majjhima Adhikari or even a Kanishtha Adhikari, one can understand that he won't progress nicely under their insufficient guidance. So there's not an injunction that says prohibits completely. It's advised, you know, it's advised that you accept the spiritual master as an Uttam Adhikari, but one can accept the spiritual master that's less than an Uttam Adhikari. If you remember that purport, yeah. And, yeah, so that's how, I guess, the disciple could wind up becoming more advanced than the spiritual master.
Okay. Ananda Kiran Prabhu, yes. Oh, you have something? Mm. Yes, Maharaj.
Yeah. Thank you very much for a very nice class. I just had one small point to make, and that is what to me is most significant when the Supreme Lord asks Prahlad Maharaj to ask for a benediction, you ask me for something. And at first, really, he didn't want to ask for anything for himself because he felt he had everything, namely the blessings, the favor, the goodwill of the Supreme Lord. What better can you get than that? But he felt the suffering of his father. Although his father was very angry, his father was very... hostile. His father was very barbaric, very horrible person towards himself, towards Prahlad. But Prahlad, because he followed the instructions that Narada Muni had given him, even when he was in the womb, that we should not be offended, affected, or disturbed, or upset by all of these things, which because they are the material world, and they come and go, and they come and go. So why even let them bother you? Rather, you should feel the pain and suffering and difficulty of the person who's giving that. So he felt rather the pain and suffering of his father. And how do we know that? Because that's what he asked for, that his father should be relieved of that pain and suffering by being liberated, not only, of course, as the Lord says, not only will your father be liberated, but 21 generations before you, but you didn't mention that also 21 generations after you, they also will be liberated. But the whole point is this, is that Prahlad was so sensitive, was so loving, was so kind, and wanted everyone to be liberated. His idea was that, let's start with my father, because he was the most demoniac in the whole world. So if we can get rid of him, there's hope for the rest of the world. Mm. So that's what he did. He felt the pain of his father. Mm. And feeling that pain of his father, when you become barbaric, when you become hostile, when you become hateful, that's very painful within the person who's even expressing it. And Prahlad was able to feel that, and feeling it, he wanted to relieve his father of that so that he would become peaceful and loving and kind as Prahlad Maharaj was from following those. So that's what I get out of it, that Prahlad was so pure and so loving and so kind that he could never be affected by the things that were happening to him, but rather the effect that it had on him was that he felt the pain of his father and wanted to relieve that pain, and the only way to do that is that the Lord would have to grant his blessing, which was infallible.
Thank you. Thank you, Maharaj, for the nice point. Yes, another question, Prabhu.
Just a question. So we hear the instruction that one should not accept too many disciples, right? It could be risky. But then on the other hand, that purport you're reading from the Bhagavatam, that the disciple can also deliver the guru. So it seems like if the guru had many disciples, there's a good probability that at least one of those disciples will become a pure devotee and can deliver the guru.
Mm.
So how do we understand that?
Looks like a contradiction. Huh? Yeah. Actually, I have no idea. Does anyone know anything?
Well, the disciple can deliver the guru if the guru falls down. But if the guru doesn't fall down, then there's no question of delivering the guru.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is that if the disciple has risen to a very high position, maybe even equal to or near equal to the guru, and the guru goes down, well then out of affection, out of a desire to want to repay or appreciatively give the guru something in return, is that to give the guru his position through the different prayers, the different blessings, the different services, so many things the disciple can do to gain favor for the guru so the guru comes back to his original position. It's an act of gratitude and appreciation mm-hmm. that the disciple does that, not as a mood or a feeling of being superior, not that.
Yes, Bhikkhu Hari Prabhu.
I think what Amal Bhaktamar just said is correct, but I don't think it was spot on to what we're dealing with here in today's purport. It was talking about how Mother Suniti was delivered because Dhruva Maharaj became such an advanced devotee. Delivered in the sense that she rode on his coattails. He went back to Godhead, and because he went back to Godhead, she went back to Godhead. So that's possible. That's talking about it's a possibility, right? But so that's one case. But the other thing is, there's actually an injunction. See, there's an injunction there that a spiritual master should not accept too many disciples. So you have to follow the injunction. What too many is, I don't know. But one thing is an injunction, another thing is a possibility. So I think if you become a spiritual master, don't accept too many disciples, thinking that one of them is going to take you back to Godhead. Just got to follow the injunction, and maybe one of the ones that you do accept will take you back to Godhead. That would be my understanding of it.
Thank you. Thank you for the nice point.
in response to that, I remember reading a purport, and I could find it, but I just remember it. I can't quote the number where it's at, but it's definitely there. Where Prabhupada makes that point that the guru should not accept so many disciples.
Right.
And then he goes on to say that he himself is making so many disciples, and because I am prepared to go to hell to deliver the conditioned souls, what can I do? So I was kind of paraphrasing, but that's almost exactly what he says. I could find the exact quote where it's at. Because then there's like gurus like Jayapataka Swami, who has like, I don't know, like 40,000 or something.
I'm thinking also like that.
Gopal Krishna Maharaj.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I don't know their conscious, like why they did that, but it might be like a similar mood.
Mm.
That they'll do anything. They'll even sacrifice themselves to try to help others.
Mm. Anyway, purity is the force. Prabhupada, he also, you know, because we are a preaching movement, and Prabhupada, he always told us that preaching means, you know, how many books we have distributed, and how many temples we have made, and how many devotees we have made, you know. So if a spiritual master can make so many disciples, I myself would think that spiritual master is really spiritually very strong, very pure devotee, you know. Yeah, because he is able to give the guidance. He is able to let so many disciples to take shelter of him and be inspired in the practice of this Krishna consciousness, you know. I would say he's a really, very pure soul, you know, empowered by the Lord, you see. Okay, anything else? Okay, let's stop here. Thank you so much for coming. Gantaraj Shrima Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Bhaktavinda ki jai.